You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the man said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. And if you find yourself driving outside the range of WVNN, just know that you can listen to us anywhere you are. Just by taking your smartphone, go to www.rightsideradio.org. Make sure it's a .org. And click on the Listen Live option, and wherever you is, there we is. Copper and I are with you all over the place. And we got callers coming in from every corner of the world. I mean, we got literally out-of-state listeners left and right now. And I tell you what, I'm watching breaking news, even as we, Copper, I'm sitting here watching it. It's amazing to me. So less than an hour from now, President Biden is going to give a speech on his six-point plan for mandating vaccines and exerting more government influence in our lives. One of the things that just happened was they just said that he's part of his plan intends to mandate that all employers who have more than 100 workers should require COVID vaccines or weekly virus tests, which means if he's able to implement that, it could affect up to 100 million people.
Wow.
The question I have is, how is he going to enforce that? Well, one of the things he's going to do is things like, oh, if OSHA regulates your business, then guess what? OSHA may find you in violation. Or, you know, if you get federal dollars, guess what? You might not get the federal dollars. We'll wait and see. But, all that to say, Copper has thoughts on the world. Copper has lots of thoughts on the world. Copper, I hear you laughing. You know you have thoughts on the world.
Depressing thoughts.
No, encouraging thoughts, Copper. Go,
all right.
Go. All right, listen, folks. One of my favorite things every week is the fact that Copper does have thoughts. She puts them together in such a cohesive and cogent manner. Let's go to Copper's Corner. Copper, take it away.
Copper's Corner, a safe space for hard truths.
All right, well, I don't know. It might be a little depressing today because my question that I'm posing here is, when do the restrictions on our liberty become too much to the point that we do want to stand up for ourselves in ways other than legal means or protesting, petitioning? It's really scary seeing the things coming out of Australia that they're basically a police state right now, that they're forcing people to inform the government of their whereabouts at all times, and they will send the police to your house if you do not. And from the outside, it's easy to criticize, well, why aren't they doing more? Why are they just allowing the government to do that to them? And when you asked me yesterday, what would you do if you were in Australia? And I said, well, I'd leave. But inside my brain, I was thinking, well, I would pick up a gun if I had a gun. And I want to be careful when saying stuff like that, since obviously violent conflict is the last thing anybody wants in our country right now. But it's worth asking, when will we take advantage of our right that's written into the Declaration of Independence that says, when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a desire to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, our right, our duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards to our future security. And it is a slippery slope. We get criticized oftentimes, conservatives, for using that kind of argument too much. But that's what's happened under COVID, small step by small step. I'm sure that's what happened in Australia, to the point where suddenly they were in a place where they couldn't back out from the control they were under. There are other terrifying things going on. I remember the first time I started feeling that suffocating fear of the government was when I started trying to get my own health care. I was unable to find health care because no doctors were taking new patients. And then I wasn't able to go to the doctor because I didn't have health care. And then I finally got to see somebody who took you regardless of whether you had health insurance. And then once I got back on health insurance, I wasn't able to see that doctor because I had health insurance. And so I had to find another doctor. And it was just a ridiculous train of loopholes and bureaucratic mess. Finally got to use my new health insurance. And then the company wouldn't pay for it because of some fine print. And I just remember feeling this basically impotent rage at how corrupt this entire system seemed to be. And the fact that my life, my health was being utterly controlled. There was nothing I could do about it. I barely understood all of these ins and outs. And just comprehending the scale of this control across our entire country was terrifying to think about. And for a lot of people in my generation, another of those big moments of realization was when we first started hearing about the national debt and how big it had grown. And when we realized, that moment we realized that our grandparents and our parents had, to some extent, ruined our future, our economic future, and that it would be decades before we got to a chance where we had enough say, where we had enough experience to step into leadership roles to actually do anything about it, that basically we were voiceless for decades of our life, and that by the time we did get into a position where we could do anything about it, that it would be too late, that it was already too late, and that by the time we could do anything, it would be even more too late. So those terrifying moments of realization, we've had them in some areas, and we're going to keep having them. We've had it regarding the education system, realizing that basically liberals control the education system across our country and they're teaching socialism. And we're seeing it with COVID. They're seeing it in Australia. And at what point is it enough? At what point, like, how many things do they have to take over? How many liberties do we have to lose before we realize, okay, we need to stop just researching and using legal responses and trying to explain it to each other and do something more, because it feels like we're losing. And that's a terrible way to live. I know I don't want to live the rest of my life like that. The Founding Fathers certainly didn't. I kind of get the impression that they would have revolted a long time ago if they were in our current position. And not just in terms of COVID, but the increasing government control over the past few decades. They consider 2% taxation to be tyranny. Now, how much of the government, how much of your paycheck does the government take? Over half? That's absurd. Another one of those moments I remember having as a, I guess I was in college, was realizing that property taxes would basically take people's family homes away. You could have a family home in your generation, in your family for generations, and suddenly you would lose the right to your own property because you couldn't pay the property taxes on them anymore. Where did we get to this point? They track us on over technology. We don't even understand a lot of this technology. We don't understand how they collect, how they borrow money. Like, my brother works in economics, and he says, you don't even realize the level of control they have and how far gone we are. It's like we're fighting ghosts that are eating away at us silently from the inside out. And in a way, this is our fault, because we knew that in order to preserve our liberties, we needed to stay educated so that we would know what was happening, so that we would understand the attacks that were coming at us. And the first mistake we made was to not be aware of the attacks that were being made, so that now when we're in this position where we finally realize it, we don't know how to respond. But we also think that it would be too much to start talking about violent responses. The opposite side villainizes it. They demean us for even mentioning that right written into the Declaration of Independence. January 6th has been mocked, and it was terrible, and I don't agree with what happened, but it's like crying wolf. They did it once, and it was a mistake, and so now if we ever talk about doing something like that because of things like are happening in Australia, we would be vilified, even if it would be the right decision. So when is it the right decision? I don't want to live the rest of my life in that kind of anxious, angry division. And I imagine that this is the way people from socialist countries who were fleeing and came to America felt. This sort of background fear, constantly having to put some of your energy into sidestepping what the government would do to punish you, into constantly being aware, watching your back, like the room is closing in on you slowly but surely. So I think we need to, I don't know, pause and think about this. If we have the right to use our weapons, when does it ever become justified? I don't know. The last thing we want is a civil war, but the last thing we want also is the noose to slowly tighten around our necks until our children can do nothing. What type of things need to happen for us to say we need to do something more while we still can. And that's Copper's Corner.
Copper, that's good stuff. Very good stuff. Well, listen, head to that short break, and let's come back and talk that and dissect it a little bit when we get back from it. But yeah, well put and good questions. And I guess the way I would first approach that is say, if you let yourself slip into negativity, then you will only find the negative. And so if there's anything I could say in response to that immediately is, you still live in a nation where you're allowed to say, not on my watch. But let's dissect it some more when we get back from this break, because that was good stuff and well thought out. I love the quote from the Declaration. Wow! I'm sitting here just like taking notes. All right, folks, that was Copper's Corner. Doesn't she do good? Man, I love it. All right, folks, 3:17 p.m., News Talk 770 a.m., 92.5 FM, WVNN. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio. Hey, and by the way, let me tell you real quickly about my friends over at ZLA Solutions. I mean, these guys have got it going on. I've known the folks at ZLA Solutions for a long time. They are solid at what they do. They put people back to work left and right all over Alabama. If you're looking for a job, just go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. They've got jobs posted all over the state. If you're an employer looking to fill out your workforce, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. They can help you get set up with all the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, all of it. I'm just telling you, ZLA Solutions has got it going on when it comes to filling out the ranks of Alabama's workforce. They are good at what they do. They like to say at ZLA, we don't just make it, we make it better. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. All right. Hey, Copper, so let's talk about that for a minute. So Copper's Corner today, I noted an air of somewhat of pessimism, but I don't think it's unfounded. And you put some time into that.
I got a bit riled up, but just to be clear, I'm not advocating for armed revolt, okay?
I love our
country. I've got a lot of hope for our country. We're blessed here. But just posing the question of how to guard our future security and, of course, to count the cost while doing so.
No, and point well taken. And I don't think any intelligent person out there would think for a second that you or this show, for that matter, is saying, take up arms.
Meet me at the town square at dawn.
No, yeah, we're not. You know, pitchforks and torches. No, we're not doing that. But I will say this. The idea that we need to be fearful of our government, that has to change. And so, was it Ronald Reagan who said that the government big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take away everything you have? And it's true. I think it was Reagan. But it probably was Reagan because he always had the coolest stuff to say. But all said and done, there is obviously a slippery slope. I mean, right now we're looking at growing government. Just right now in Alabama. So they passed the medical marijuana bill. It wasn't a medical marijuana bill. It was a grow big government bill. This just broke story here a few minutes ago. The state, our state treasurer, is resigning from his position, a constitutional officer in the state of Alabama, a statewide position, to take up as the new head of the Cannabis Commission. Well, we grew government, didn't we? If a constitutional officer wants to resign his post to go take up the head of a new commission that we formed in the so-called medical marijuana bill, guess what? We grew government. And Copper, your point is well taken. I mean, government continues to grow. At what point do we say enough? We've got enough government.
Well, and an intriguing thought is that, well, prosperity comes with freedom. And so we've become a wonderfully blessed country, a first world country. And so we have way more to lose by shaking the boat, as it were. So I wonder if first world countries will actually be less willing to use that right because they're afraid of the economic crash versus in third world countries when they're starving and they're, you know, women are being beaten in the streets. What do they have to lose?
Mm. Oh, man, that reminds me of a story. So I had some friends that years ago when the Soviet Union was still the Soviet Union, and religious persecution was a real thing there. I had some friends that went to the former Soviet Union, now Russia, and they were there sort of doing clandestine you know, ministry work, if you will. And they were meeting with underground churches. And I'll never forget, my friend Chris told me this story. He said he was meeting with some folks in an underground church. And he told one of the ladies there, he says, "I want you to know in America we're praying for you." And she said, "Oh no, we're praying for you in America because you have it too easy." Yeah. Think about it. They were willing to do whatever it took at threat of their life to meet in an underground church to worship. Mm-hmm. And we have people here that are still too scared to go back to church and don't even log in on video. And it's true. I think there are times, your point's well taken. In some countries, what have they got to lose? I mean, go for it. But here, you know, and I just had an email, Copper, just a minute ago from Cindy. I'll just say her first name. Cindy sent it to me and said, "Heard the conversations earlier about, you know, possibly having to quit your job to avoid a vaccine mandate if that's the way you feel." Well, that's part of it. Sort of like, that's like the micro of what you just said the macro was. There's this fear of the economic downturn if you resist. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all the way down to the individual level. What will it do to you economically if to exercise your rights and your liberties that you feel are important, whether it be a vaccine mandate or anything else for that matter, you decide is worth quitting your job? You may have to make that decision. I hate to say it, but you may. How far are you willing to go? When is enough enough? And, you know, we are different from the Soviet Union, though. And I'll say that again. I sort of said it at the end of your Copper's Corner a minute ago. We are still a nation, though, that does allow you, by right, by constitutional right, you're allowed to say enough is enough. It doesn't always mean that it's going to be an effective cry, but if you have enough people joining you in it, it's amazing how that can shift. And there are polar shifts that happen even at the local level. I keep talking about that Mountain Brook thing. A group of 300 parents got rallied up about critical race theory being taught in their schools, and they went to a school board meeting, freaked out the school board, and got the policy rescinded. Just because they were willing to say, enough's enough. All right. Hey, good job, Copper, as always. Thank you for your thoughts. Do not be pessimistic, my little sister.
Yes.
All right? There's still plenty worth fighting for and living for, and I know you know that. But listen, more to come, folks. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. Let's talk about Afghanistan for a minute when we get back, because I am not letting that story go. And it applies to us right here in Alabama, because there's people in Alabama right now that are fighting to rescue people out of Afghanistan. Yes, they are. All right, folks, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, and live online at rightsideradio.org. We'll be right back.